Praganya Gana Gocha Guloru Haram Gauranga Gura Tamago Pyara Kopa Vriksham Gopala Gara Rati Damyati Singha Gora Govinda Deshikavaram Satatam Namami Gurave Guru Chandraya Radhikayai Tadalaye Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tadbhaktaya Namo Namaha Nityanandam Maham Vande Karni Lambita Moktikam Chaitanya Grajarupena Pavritri Kita Bhutalam Nityananda Namastubhyam Premananda Pradayane Kolo Kamasanasaya Janavaye Pataye Namaha. I offer my obeisances to Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who's adorned with a single pearl earring, it's a long story, who, appearing prior to Lord Chaitanya, has sanctified the surface of the earth. O Lord Nityananda, husband of Janava Devi, obeisances unto you. You crush the vices in the age of Kali and grant the bliss of pure love of God. Ajanulam bhuto bhujo kanakavadato sankirtanaika pitaro kamalayatakso vishvambaro dvijavaro yugadhamapalo vande jagat priyakaro karuna avataro anarpita chirim chirat karuna avatirnakalo samarpaitam anujfala rasam swabhakti shriyam hari purata sundara dyuti kadamba sandipitaha sada vidaya kandare svaratuva sachinandanaha Utama adama kichuna bachila jachiga dileka kola kahe premananda emona goranga ridoya dariya bola Baja goranga kaha goranga laha gorangera namare bolo Baja goranga kaha goranga Laha Gauranga Namare Tejana Gauranga Bhaje Sehoi Amara Pranare Tejana Gauranga Bhaje Sehoi Amara Pranare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Yashaiva Padambuja Bhakti Labhya Prema Vidana Padama Pumarta Tismai Jagan Mangala Mangalaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Vanchakalpatarubhischa Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. The song that we just sang has a very wonderful and very deep purport. It actually really needs to be explained. I've done that many, many times on different occasions. But today our time is a little limited. And we have a very big subject before us. So I'd like to just go straight to reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anchalila chapter 6, which Prabhupada is titled, Lord Chaitanya Meets Raghunath Das Goswami. I'd like to read to you the invocation verse in Sanskrit that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has compiled. Krita gunarya ku grihanda kupad. Kripa gunarya kripa gunarya ku ghanda ku grihanda kupad. Udhiritya bhangya raghunata das. Nyasa swarupe vidade nankagam. Sri Krishna Chaitanyam. Amum prapadye. With the ropes of his causeless mercy, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu employed a trick to deliver Raghunath Das Goswami from the blind well of contemptible family life. Griha andukupa, it says in the Sanskrit here. He made Raghunath Das Goswami one of his personal associates. And Nyasa Swarupe Vidadeh, placing him under the charge of Sarup Damodar Goswami. I offer my obeisances to him. It's a very wonderful verse. And in this verse, as in the beginning of each chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami very wonderfully invokes the principle of Mangalacharana. There's different types of Mangalacharana in general, just to create auspiciousness, but also to state the specific subject matter before and to offer obeisances and request blessings. So, in this verse, he's giving us kind of a very quick synopsis of the purport of this chapter. I think many of you probably already are familiar with the pastime of the Panihati Chiddahi Utsav. I'll tell the story today, don't worry. But I would like to go a little bit more into some of the purport around it. Because when we have some katha in our temples, it's not a class like in the university. And it's not a sermon like for those of you who have been to church before. It's not like that. Krishna Katha, as they would say in the 60s and 70s from America where I'm from, should be a happening. It should be something which is reciprocal. Actually, according to the Skanda Purana, there's a very wonderful description there that whenever someone begins, I don't know if I could find the verse, very nice verse, whenever someone begins to speak some Krishna Katha, then Krishna immediately goes there. And not just by himself, but he goes there, he says, with the gopis. So, it's a service. It's a kind of deity worship. It's not something for the pleasure of the listener, or this is entertaining, nor is it something for the pleasure, subtle or gross, of the speaker. Now they're all listening to me. This is meant for the pleasure of Thakurji. It's meant for the pleasure of our previous acharyas. And we all come together with this every day as a service. So we need to contemplate what we're speaking about and what is the purpose of it. It has to be something which is relevant. Not just some nice entertaining stories and yeah, that's purifying to hear. But what has it got to do with me? And what relevance does it have to my spiritual life? Because don't think these are just ordinary books of paper and ink. But these books are living persons. Krishna Tulya Bhagavata Vibhu Sarvashroy. the Bhagavatam, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the manifestations of Krishna. And Krishna will speak to us through the pages of these literatures if we just give some proper oral reception. So, having said all of that, our purpose today in speaking on this subject, we'd like to try to speak something about the process of obtaining the mercy of the Lord. And a few other important subject matters that also come up, all of which are actually very, very vast and would require many, many days to properly discuss. We'll just touch on them to give them a little respect. We'd like to also speak about renunciation, because that's a very primary subject of this chapter, about the life of Raghunath Das Goswami and how it is that we should take shelter of the Lord and what renunciation means in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. It's not the same as renunciation in the line of Shankaracharya or in some other yoga group or something like that. What is renunciation? How do we approach the Lord? And in the beginning of this chapter, Kaviraj Goswami, in several verses, gives us a glimpse of the end. Because, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, even in the beginning of our spiritual life, we should know what is our goal. Because if you don't know what is your goal, how will you get there? If you want to come to Vrindavan, and you're living in Australia, and you start driving south, you might get to Vrindavan, but it will take you a very long, long time. Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram, Shri Shri Radha Shamsundar, Shri Shri Gaur Nityananda Prabhu. Hey. Ramachandra Prabhu. Ramachandra Prabhu. Hare Krishna. So, in the very beginning, he evokes a picture of the Gambira. And he speaks about Mahaprabhu's condition in the Gambira and how he's being consoled by Sarup Damodar Goswami and Roy Ramananda. And why he does that in the beginning of this chapter, which, after all, this is about Raghunath Das Goswami and about the Chiddahi Utsav, you may say, what relevance does that have to this? It has a relevance. We have to see where the end of the string takes us. Okay? So, there are many, many different aspects of this pastime. I'm going to skip over some of the first points, which are actually very, very interesting. The story of Hiranyadas, Raghunath Das Goswami's uncle, and one Muslim Chaudhary who's a tax collector, and how Raghunath Das Goswami gets put in prison like Sanatan Goswami, and how he uses some tricky means to get out. We just offered our pranams to that. He went back home to his father. And previously in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's instructed Raghunath Das Goswami, Antar Nishta Bahir Vyavahar. Raghunath Das kept running away from home and trying to join the Hare Krishna movement. I know a few people who've been in that situation. And this is very relevant discussion. How is it actually we come to the movement of Mahaprabhu? And perhaps a more uncomfortable point, who really comes to the movement of Mahaprabhu? And why do some people leave if they've actually come? So these are some lessons from this pastime. In the Majjhalila chapter 16, when Raghunath Das comes to Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu tells him, Antarnisha Bahir Vyavahar. Hey, he says to him, you don't be a crazy fellow. You go home. And on the inside, antar nishta Bahir Vyavahar. Antar Nishta, you be very fixed on the inside. And Bahir Vyavahar, on the outside, you act like an ordinary person. And Raghunath Das Goswami followed that instruction. He didn't say, no, I'm being cheated. I want to be like the other devotees who are coming with you and every day. I don't like doing business with my father. This is really boring. And all this money things. Raghunath Das Goswami didn't complain like that. Rather, he accepted the order of the Lord. It's his life and soul. Acharjira Mata Jay Se Mata Sar. That order of Guru, that order of Krishna, Se Mata Sar. That's the essence of everything, the essence of our spiritual life. He followed that and he didn't try externally. Well, he did some, as we'll discuss. But primarily, he focused internally. But he always wanted to get away. And he tried again and again. He would run away from home and his father would send some men out and find him and bring him back. Hey, what are you doing? Raghunath Das Goswami's father was named Gobardhan Majumdar. And his uncle was Hiranyadas. And we could consider they were two great Vaishnavas. I say that in a certain tone of voice. You may know why, or you may find out more why during this discussion. They were giving so much money to the Vaishnavas, and they were devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But they also had some attachment. I know some people like that. Some of us, we want to have our cake and eat it too, so they say. We want to be able to look at the pretty cake, and we also want to be able to eat it. We want to be a devotee, but we don't want to become too much. Right? We want to still keep certain foods in our refrigerator and still watch certain things and maybe even a little movie once in a while or this thing or that thing. And we think like that. There's certain devotees like that. So Gobardhan and Hiranya were very elevated devotees, but they had some little attachment to their opulence. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he was wanting so much to get away. And after some time, he gave that up. And he inquired about the whereabouts of Lord Nityananda. Because when a devotee, the Dhammi Buddhiyogam Dham, Krishna gives a devotee intelligence who's doing bhajatam pratipurvakam, who's doing proper bhajan, Krishna will give us intelligence how to come to him. And Krishna gave intelligence to Raghunath Das Goswami, who went to Panihati. He heard that Raghunath Das Goswami was there. And there, when he arrived, he found Lord Nityananda sitting under a huge banyan tree, which is still there today, not far from the home of Raghava Pandit. If you ever go to Panihati, where we've been many times, it's a very wonderful place to visit. They'll have an amazing festival there today. And when he arrived there, he saw sitting on that platform under that tree, the tree is still there today, Lord Nityananda was sitting, and he looked as effulgent as millions of suns. The Ganga was just behind Lord Nityananda, still there today in the same place. And surrounding Lord Nityananda, like many moons, many stars surrounding the moon, were so many of his elevated associates like Abhiram Thakur and Udhanadat Thakur and other great devotees of Lord Nityananda. And Raghunath Das Goswami went there and he felt very shy. This is Lord Nityananda. Who am I? He offered obeisances from a distance and Lord Nityananda said, hey, who is that? Bring him here. And they brought Raghunath Das Goswami up there. And Lord Nityananda chastised him. Said, "You are a thief. You're trying to steal from me. You're trying to offer obeisances from a distance. And you think, I don't see what you're doing. But I see what you're doing. Now I'm going to punish you. And I'm going to give you a punishment that you deserve. I want you to organize a festival of chipped rice and dahi yogurt. And you invite all the devotees to this festival." So Raghunath Das Goswami, he took that on his head. And immediately he sent some of his men. Because Raghunath Das Goswami, he wasn't just a skinny little lazy Hare Krishna devotee. But he was very, very expert. He was a very, very expert businessman. And he had many people who worked for him. He wasn't a slouch, as we would say in America. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he arranged for about 200 pots, earthen pots, clay pots to be brought, and so much chipped rice and so much yogurt. And he divided that rice into two different pots. And one he put condensed milk. And one he put yogurt. And there were so many different sweets also that were brought there. And he brought five or seven very big earthen pots. And at that time, Lord Nityananda was prepared for the festival. And they mix in each one of those pots, that condensed milk and the yogurt in another one, some bananas, then some mishri, some sugar, not this chini like they have today, which most of which is non-vegetarian, I'm sorry to say, in India, but mishri, some pure sugar in those days, and some ghee, and they add a little camphor, a little kharpur also, very, very nice substance. And sometimes some coconut maybe. So Lord Nityananda at that time, it's described in text 60, Chubhataru upare jata prabhu nijagane bada bada loka vasila mandali richane. Lord Nityananda brought on the platform next to him all of his most important associates for this festival. Now, this is a very small point, which Kaviraj Goswami doesn't really elaborate on. But why does he mention it? It has some purport, as does every little statement in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Nityananda is teaching us proper etiquette. When we have some festival, we may be a senior person, and maybe even everybody's coming to give respect to me for my birthday or something because I'm so special. But in such an occasion, it's appropriate to bring a senior devotees around you and also give proper respect to all the senior devotees. And then this helps create such a very wonderful feeling in the Sangha. The junior devotees see, oh, look, the respect he's giving to these senior people that I also love. We should respect seniors with love. It's a very important thing. Junior people should see that. And they should learn from that. So, again, so many devotees were there. Gauridas Pandit, Abhiram Thakur, Sundarananda, Gadadhar Das, Kamalakar, Mahesh, Udarnadat Thakur, many, many other important associates of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And so everyone was offered two pots. And one of them was chipped rice with condensed milk, and the other was chipped rice with dahi, with yogurt. And everyone sat around Lord Nityananda because, of course, we'd all like to sit around Lord Nityananda. But not everybody could fit. So some sat a little further away. Some sat on the bank of the Ganga. And by the time some people got there, there was no place to sit even on the bank of the Ganga. So they got their pots and they went out in the middle of the Ganga. And they stood in the Ganga with their pots. And Kaviraj Goswami, he describes, he says that Nahoya Ganane, there was no possibility even in counting how many people were present there. Kaviraj Goswami says that many, many elevated people came. I know what it's like living in India for almost 25 years in the Dham. When you have a festival here, oh boy, so many people come. And sometimes it's not always everyone that you want to come. We have to make some rules and some boundaries and things. Our societies learn very quickly about that. But in this particular case, there was such a wide variety of people. There were also very high-class scholars and Brahmins and saintly persons who'd come there. Everyone was very, very eager to take part in this festival with Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And so at that time, Raghava Pandit arrived there. And when he saw what was going on, he began to laugh and happiness. And he told Lord Nityananda Prabhu that, "I've also brought you a whole big feast of prasadam." And then he placed it before Nityananda Prabhu and then amongst the devotees. And Lord Nityananda, he told him, he said, "Okay, diddy-diddy, chill out. You know, tonight, I'll take it to your house. But right now, we'll take here." He said, "I'm not a fancy person." He said, "I'm a Gwala." I don't know if you all know what Gwala means. Gwala is a very sweet word. It means a cowherd person. "I'm a Gwala. I'm just a cowherd boy. And I'm used to taking lunch with my friends on the bank of the Sandy River. And I like it here." And it's said that when all the devotees were taking this festival, this feast there on the bank of the Ganga, they were all remembering Lord Balaram, surrounded by all the suckas, all the cowherd boys, and sitting on the bank of the Jamuna and eating, having a bhojan leela, as in Braj Leela. So at that time, Lord Nityananda, he sat down and began meditating, because Lord Nityananda Prabhu is not happy just being by himself. He wants to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in meditation, Nityananda Prabhu brought Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu there. But none of the devotees could see it, except a very few fortunate devotees. I think Udhanadat Thakur was probably one of those, and Abhiram Thakur, and some very intimate devotees of Lord Nityananda. And at that time, Sri Chaitanya Lord Nityananda became very ecstatic. And he started going, Kaviraj Goswami doesn't elaborate on this either, but it's very interesting. It says that he was going to every single pot and taking a handful of the prasadam from that pot and putting it in the mouth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Mahaprabhu was putting it in the mouth of Lord Nityananda. Now, try to understand what this means. That means the uchista of the devotees, or the devotees' remnants. Isn't it? The devotees were already eating. It says every pot. This is what Kaviraj Goswami says. And he was putting it in the mouth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Mahaprabhu was putting it in the mouth of Lord Nityananda. How many of you would like that? Would you want to go to that festival and have Lord Nityananda come and dip his hand in your pot and eat some and give some to Mahaprabhu? There's some adhikar to attend this festival. And those personalities who were taking part in this festival were very, very intimate. Amongst Krishna's suckas, his cowherd friends, and amongst the gopis also, there's so much intimacy that sometimes remnants are shared freely. And the devotees, the cowherd boys or the gopis, even though they're devotees of the Lord, they sometimes allow the Lord to take their uchista, their remnants. There's a kind of intimacy in that, kind of intimacy that we don't have on this level and that we can't try to imitate. At that time, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he became very, very ecstatic. And he gave a very wonderful instruction to the devotees, which is such a nice instruction, I'd like to sing it. And maybe you can chant Hare Krishna in response. Adya Dila Hari Boli Koro Ho Bojan Hare Hare Dwani Uti Bari La Bhuvan Bolo Hare Krishna. But please, everybody, you can help me a little. Don't whisper, all right? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Bolo. If you're going to take a feast with Lord Nityananda Prabhu, and Lord Nityananda Prabhu tells you, chant, chant, you don't say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Agyadila, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, at that time he ordered all the devotees, very wonderful instruction. This is the instruction Bhaktivinoda Thakur also gives in one of his Prasad Seva songs. How we should serve prasadam. Wow, it tastes good. I'm going to have some fun. That's not the purpose of taking prasadam. It's not saying amrita kau. Kau in Bengali means to eat. Sometimes devotees sing that. That's not what Bhaktivinoda wrote. He said saying amrita pau. Pau means to accept. I accept prasad. I serve prasadam. So Lord Nityananda, he told the devotees, Hari Hari, Koroho Bojan, while you're eating, you chant, Hari Hari! Hari Hari! Hari Hari Dwani Uti Bharilo Bhuvan. And immediately the holy names resounded so loud, it said it filled the entire universe. This is taking prasadam with Lord Nityananda Prabhu. The devotees became so ecstatic. Bhaktivinoda, in one of his Prasad Seva songs, he gives an instruction. He says that when you take prasadam, Kunti Bhojana, he says, you should take all the way up to the neck. I don't think that's very practical every day, but at least maybe for festivals. Now, a question arises, why does he say up to the neck? Why not up to the mouth or something like that? Because you leave a little room for chanting. He's following instruction here given by Lord Nityananda Prabhu here at the wonderful festival of chipped rice. That evening, all the devotees, they went to the house of Raghava Pandit. I won't go so much into that pastime. There's so many wonderful details in that also. And it's also mentioned, another interesting point, that when the local shopkeepers saw, when the local people saw this festival going on, like, whoa, this looks really good. And many, many people started coming. And whoever came, Lord Raghunath Das Goswami arranged for prasadam for everyone. It was very, very expert service. It was so expertly arranged by Raghunath Das Goswami. And this was something very dear to Srila Prabhupada. When Prabhupada went to Tirupati with the devotees, he instructed the devotees that we should learn management like they do here in Tirupati. How many of you have been to Tirupati? Raise your hand. You go to Tirumala, the hill on top. Oh my God. The streets are so clean, you can eat off them. Practically any time. I've never seen anything like it anywhere in India. The things were organized in such a pukka-pukka way. Prabhupada liked good organization. Lord Nityananda, he likes good organization. And Raghunath Das Goswami, as a good servant, he didn't say, anyway, I'm just going to chant Hare Krishna and just become a devotee now. But no, he used all of his managerial skills and all of his resources to serve Lord Nityananda and very significantly to serve the devotees. And at the house of Raghava Pandit, something very important happened. One thing happened, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he started dancing in ecstasy because he saw that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come there to that place. And after the kirtan, because every festival, it's not just a feast, we should have kirtan also. Sometimes people say, oh, you come to our house and have prasadam. I say, thank you very much, but only if we'll do a little kirtan. Some kirtan. Otherwise, I don't like to go to your house just to eat. It's not a good thing. So the festival is kirtan and prasadam. Kunti Bhoja, a little room for chanting also. So after the kirtan, and they had more prasadam, and all the devotees then, they requested Raghava Pandit, Raghunath Das Goswami, to take prasad because he was serving everyone. He wasn't taking. And Raghava Pandit told him, no, don't worry about him. He'll take prasad later. And so then all the devotees, they were chanting, they washed their hands and mouths, and they got up and left. And then Raghava Pandit, he brought some of the remnants from the plate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda. And he gave them to Raghunath Das Goswami. And he said, you take these. And he said, by taking this, you'll get the mercy that you can leave family life. And Raghunath Das Goswami, he accepted that. And Raghava Pandit told him, Lord Nityananda told him that the Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was very, very pleased with you. I should tell a little more. The next day, Raghunath Das Goswami went, and it's very significant, in text 127, he approached Lord Nityananda, but he went through a particular door. In Bengali, dvara means door. So that word is used in text 127, that Raghunath Das went through a particular door to approach Lord Nityananda. What was that door? Raghava Pandita Dvara. Kaila Nibidan. He approached Lord Nityananda, Kaila Nibidan, and he submitted his desire. But he didn't just approach him on his own. He did it through Raghava Pandit. And this is how we get the blessings of the Lord. And what was the statement of Raghunath Das Goswami? Did he come to the Lord and say, well, here I am, and you're pretty lucky. You know, I'm the son of Govardhan and a nephew of Hiranyadas, and I come from maybe the most wealthy family in West Bengal, multi-billionaires, and you'll be really lucky to get me as a follower. He didn't approach like that. What did he say? Adhamma pamara mui. Adhamma pamara mui hina jivadam. Mora icha hoya pana chaitanya charan. Bolo. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He said that I'm the most fallen person. He said, there's no person. What happened? There's no person more fallen than me. Adama Pamara. I'm the most fallen, the most sinful person. This is our qualification to approach the Lord. It's a very wonderful verse. Pasantaham oho nityam paraparada dharma kahakshama shamam hare radha dehi me sadhu dharmakam. That My dear Srimati Radharani, it's time to be a little honest. Pasanjaham. And I have to frankly admit, Ami Pasandi. I am a Pasandi. What is Pasandi in Sanskrit? Pasandi has a number of meanings. Pasandi is an unpleasant word. It means someone who is an atheist. It also means someone who is a pretender. Someone who is acting like something that they're not. Pasanjaham. Aho, not just sometimes either. Aho nityam. I'm always like this. And not only that, it gets worse. Paraparada dharmakaha. My nature is to always commit offense to everyone else. Kshamashamam hare radha. O Srimati Radharani. Please, please, be merciful to me. Dehi me sadhu dharmakam. And make me into a saintly person. It was with this mood that Raghunath Das Goswami approached Lord Nityananda. And he didn't approach him on his own, but he always approached him through the devotees. And as we'll hear more, he always served the devotees. He wanted the blessings of the devotees. This is how we get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung in a very nice song. Ek padekli chakshu ja. Gorobole nitai den sakala samba. Gorobole nitai den sakala samba. Khodanitai. Ek bar dekli chakshi ja. If just one time Lord Nityananda sees you chanting, just one tear coming down, then immediately Lord Nityananda, then sakala sambhav. Nitai den sakala sambhav. He immediately gives all strength, all spiritual strength to that person. He gives shelter to that devotee. And this is what Raghunath Das Goswami achieved. And this is what we want. This is the importance of this chapter in Chaitanya Charitamrita, to teach us how to approach Lord Nityananda Prabhu and how to get his mercy. And what is the result of that? The result is that one attains the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And a side result is that one develops renunciation. Lord Nityananda Prabhu put his feet on the head of Raghunath Das Goswami, and he called for all the devotees. And he told all the devotees, all of you, you bless him. And all the devotees gave blessings to Raghunath Das Goswami. And then the festival was over, the program was over, and Raghunath Das Goswami went to speak something in secret to Raghava Pandit, not in front of everybody. He said, look, I want to do some service for the devotees. I'd like to give everybody some money. I have a good amount of money. And I want you, first of all, to take some of this money. And he gave like a large quantity of gold and so many coins. You give this to Lord Nityananda Prabhu later on. Not now. And later on you can explain to him about it. Because Raghunath Das Goswami didn't want some cheap reputation like a prostitute. But we should be very careful in our bhajan that we don't just cheaply give away what little things we may have. Rather, he wanted to genuinely please the Lord and wasn't thinking of his own benefit. And along with Raghava Pandit, he spoke with him and he said, "You please calculate as you think fit. You give some particular amount of coins to each one of the devotees, maybe 5, maybe 10, maybe 20, maybe 50, to the different devotees. And you distribute this to all the different associates of Lord Nityananda Prabhu." And then Raghunath Das Goswami went home. But not exactly. Because, you see, he'd left home. He'd already left home. His body was there in the house, but his heart had followed him. Just like there's a beautiful description by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. When Krishna goes to herd the cows in the forest, and he says that all the residents of Vrindavan, they follow him. And there's a big drama. Mother Yashoda, she's saying, "Krishna, I'll go with you." And Krishna's looking at his friends and they're looking at him. Because, come on, we don't want your mom to come with us. We want to have some fun by ourselves. And certainly Krishna doesn't want Mother Yashoda to be there later on when he sneaks away from the cowherd boys around noontime and goes to see some other personalities. She's saying then, "Oh, you take this lunch," and then she's saying, "Now, Balaram, you're going to watch over him, right?" And Balaram's saying, "Yes, yes, I'm going to watch over him. Everything's okay." And finally, Krishna says, "Mom, really, we need to go. The cows want it." "Okay, okay." So then Krishna starts going. And Krishna, as he's going, Vishwanath says that he sees that although I'm leaving, and their bodies are staying here, the eyes of the residents of Vrindavan are following me. And so let me take their hearts also and bring their hearts with me. And so this is what happened to Raghunath Das Goswami. His heart was captured by Lord Nityananda Prabhu and given to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So although his body went home, his heart had already left. And from that time on, when he went home, Kaviraj Goswami says that things were different. He no longer slept in the room with his wife. He started sleeping in the Durga Mandap, outside the house. And he was always thinking, how can I take complete shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? What can I do? What can I do? Now, at this point, Kaviraj Goswami speaks about Yadunandan Acharya. Yadunandan Acharya is an interesting person, and he has some significance in Gauralila. I'd like to touch on him a little because I think it also may have some relevance for all of us. Yadunandan Acharya was the guru of Raghunath Das Goswami. Now, you may say, but no, Swarup Damodar Goswami was his guru. We say Swarupe Raghunath. Actually, we don't say that. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that. Swarupe Raghunath. Now he's the Raghu of Swarup. He belongs to Swarup Damodar Goswami. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally gave him to him. I was told by a very nice person that we can go until 9:30 today. So please don't be upset with me. I'm going to do that. If you need to do something, if you need to go, it's already 9:05. I don't mind if you have to get up and go. Please do that. It's all right. But please forgive me if I continue until 9:30 because we're just warming up. Yadunandan Acharya, very interesting personality. Prabhupada says that he was the family guru, but actually it says he was a Purohit, the priest. But he was a great personality. Don't think he was just some official kind of guru. Yadunandanacharya was a disciple, direct disciple of Advaitacharya. He was a very intimate friend and gotten the mercy of Vasudev Dutt. In fact, some people say that he was actually a disciple of Vasudev Dutt and was very close with Advaita, one or the other. Chaitanya Charitamrita Prabhupada says that he was initiated by Advaita. He was also intimate friends with Haridas Thakur. He was a very special devotee on his own. And Raghunath Das Goswami never, although he became Sarupa Raghunath, he became the Raghunath of Sarup. He took shelter of Sup Damodar Goswami, who became his life and soul. Raghunath Das Goswami always gave respect to Yadunandanacharya. And I'll give you an example. There's a wonderful book which was very dear to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and which is quoted many times in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's called Vilap Kusumanjali. Some people say it's the last writing of Raghunath Das Goswami. I heard a very beautiful explanation of it once, which I think is very appropriate, that Vilap Kusumanjali is the echo of Mahaprabhu's crying in the Gambira. It's Raghunath Das Goswami's personal feelings. After being affected so intently by Mahaprabhu's bhajan in Gambira, I hope we get a chance to approach that subject matter also. That's a topic we'd like to get to today. So in the fourth verse in the Mangala Charan, which was Vilap Kusumanjali, he offers obeisances to Yadunandanacharya. Prabhu api Yadunandana jaya esha priya Yadunandana natta prabhava swayamatula kripamrita bhishekam mamakritavam stam aham gurum prapadye. He says, he's my guru. I surrender to him. He's my master, my prabhu. And he's a very dear devotee. Unnata prabhava. He's a very powerful person. And he's been sprinkling me with so much wonderful nectar and mercy. So why this little detour about Yadunandanacharya? Yadunandanacharya has a very interesting role in this pastime, because it seems almost like he's an impediment to Raghunath Das Goswami coming to the Lord. Or, if not an impediment, at least someone who's not actively assisting him. And it seems that Yadunandanacharya, it's not said exactly, but it just kind of seems implied that he was working under the guidance of Govardhan Majumdar, the father of Raghunath Das Goswami, who was a very big man, and he had different priests. And Yadunandanacharya was a humble priest. He was also a great devotee. So Raghunath Das Goswami accepted him as his guru. And it's a very interesting relationship. Although you may say, oh, he's just a kula guru. He's a lower person. And he should just give him up and just take shelter of Sup Damodar Goswami. Sup Damodar Goswami is a much higher Vaishnav. This is not our Vaishnav principle. Many times our acharyas have quoted a verse from the Mahabharata. I don't know the whole shloka. Maybe some of you do. It begins with Guru Apyapiliptasya. It's spoken by Bhishma Dev to his guru Parshuram when he's rejecting him. Because Bhishma Dev, Parshuram was ordering him, you have to marry this beautiful girl Amba. She's crying. You may know the story. It's a long story. You have to marry Amba. And Bhishma Dev is saying, no, Guru Maharaj, I'm sorry. I won't do it. And then finally he says that I'm going to reject my guru. But although we quote this verse as an example of someone rejecting a kind of kula guru, and an example is given of Bali Maharaj and Sukracharya, who is the Acharya? He's a Shukracharya. He's a seminal Acharya, and how he disobeyed his order. So also Bhishma Dev disobeyed the order of Parshuram. But we should look in the context. I've looked in the Sanskrit in the context in this section of Mahabharata, and it's very fascinating. Because after he speaks that verse, they have a big fight between Bhishma Dev and Parshuram. But before the fight begins, and the fight goes for many days, and every morning, every evening it stops, they're gentlemen. And in the morning, every morning before it began, there was a little ritual. And Bhishma Dev, he went to Parshuram, and he offered obeisances, and he said, Guru Maharaj, please give me permission to fight with you. This is after he spoke this famous verse, rejecting him. And then he fought. And finally, it's a long story, they were going to throw some Brahmastra weapons. It's really exciting, a lot of adventure. And the universe is going to be destroyed. The demigods came and said, hey, you got to stop this. And they told Bhishma Dev, you can't do this. This is your guru. And you're committing guru aparadh. You're committing some offense to your guru by doing this. So he stopped for that reason, because he felt this was some guru aparadh. Two things are there. He disobeyed his guru. He said, I reject you. But at the same time, obviously he didn't reject him. Partly that's exhibited in the fact that during their fight, he was using so many astras, so many mantra weapons, which he had gotten from who? From Parshuram. Because rejecting your guru means to reject the mantra that you've gotten from your guru. That's the ultimate rejection. But another kind of rejection is there, which is also seen, I have the verse written out here, in Narada Pancharatra. Similar story when Lord Brahma instructs Narad Muni to get married. Narad Muni rejects his father. Says, you're not my guru because you're giving me a bad instruction. I don't want to do this. And then the verse says, the word, I don't remember all the Sanskrit, but this one part of the verse says, such sishya. A bona fide disciple will give up such a guru. Now, I have a little problem with that. It's like saying a bona fide wife will give up a bad husband. All right. But, hello, I have a question. How is she a wife if she's given up her husband? And how are you a disciple if you've given up your guru? So it's a little bit of both. Because you've given up that particular instruction of Gurudev. But you're still accepting Gurudev's mantra. And you're still giving respect to that. And we see this in the example of Raghunath Das Goswami. Although Sarupya Raghunath, he was the Raghu of Sarup. He belonged to Sarup Damodar Goswami. He was his life and soul. He always gave his pranams to his Gurudev, Yadunandan Acharya. He wasn't embarrassed, oh, I have a low-class guru. I don't want to talk about him. He's a fall-down guru. Or he's not so impressive. I just want to talk about this high-class guru over here. One person, whoever occupies our heart, my Guru Maharaj once said, is your main guru. But still, we always give respect to whoever has helped us. So this is a lesson from Yadunandan Acharya's position in this pastime. Yadunandan Acharya had a number of disciples who he was engaging in deity worship, and there was one of them who had quit his services. So one day, Yadunandan Acharya called for Raghunath Das Goswami and said, Raghunath, I want your help. Apparently, Raghunath Das Goswami was a very convincing person, or a very powerful person. I want you to come and preach to this disciple of mine and convince him that he should take up his service again. Yes, Guru Maharaj. So he went with his guru, Yadunandanacharya, and they spoke with that disciple and convinced him to take up the service again. And then Yadunandanacharya, by this time it was evening, his house was a little ways away from the home of Raghunath Das, and they arrived there. And Yadunandan said, so I'm going to take rest. Now Raghunath Das said, yes, I'll go home. And he left in more ways than one. And he went to his real home. And Raghunath Das Goswami left, and there's some wonderful description given in Chaitanya Charitamrita, which Kaviraj Goswami, we may question, why does he mention this particular point? Again and again, he mentions that when Raghunath Das Goswami left home, he was completely fixed in thinking of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was just running for them. This is renunciation. It's not that when he was leaving home, he was kind of thinking, well, maybe I should check and see if the water pump was turned on first this morning before I go. Or did I pay the bills? Is my wife going to be in trouble? He wasn't going away and thinking about what he was leaving. He wasn't going away and thinking about his wife. He wasn't thinking about renunciation at all. He was just thinking about the Lord. And this is renunciation in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. It's not external. There's a story. Once a sick man was there. He had some skin rash. He was itching. And at the same time, he had a bad cough. And he was coughing up blood. So he went to the Vaidya, the doctor. And the doctor took his pulse. And he prescribed for him two medicines. He said, I'm going to give you a white pill and a red pill. The white pill you crush. And you mix with some ghee and you rub it on your rash and it'll go away. The white pill is for the outside. And the red pill is for the inside. You swallow that because it was very serious, the coughing up the blood. And so the man, who wasn't so super intelligent, said, yes, doctor, I got it. White for the outside, red for the inside. And he left. And as he was going, he was repeating over and over again to himself, white for the outside. And after a little while, he got it wrong. And he was thinking, red for the outside and white for the inside. Yeah, that's right. So when he got home, he started crushing the red pills and rubbing the red pills on his rash and swallowing the white pills. And after a few days, he died. So the purport is that our renunciation, the red color should be on the inside first, not on the outside. Antarnishta Bahir Vyavahar. This is the instruction we learned from Raghunath Das Goswami. On the outside, be an ordinary person. Do whatever situation you have to do, but cultivate this intense mood. Tibrena Bhakti Yogena. Don't cultivate casual bhakti. Cultivate very, very intense bhakti. We see Ayendra Prabhu doing very intense bhakti here. I saw my Guru Maharaj. We've seen some Vaishnavas doing very, very intense bhakti. This intense bhakti, Tibrena Bhakti Yogena, this is the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not some casual religious thing. We should hanker for that. And whatever situation that we're in, we should want that. We should want to give our mind, our body, our everything completely to the kirtan and the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We should not be happy. We should be completely restless. We should be disturbed. We should be banging our heads against the wall until our brains are smashed. Until when is that prema coming? Ainandatanuja kinkaram patitamam bishame bhavamburo. Oh my Lord, we should cry. I'm fallen here. When will that day come? Kabi habi bolo se dinamar. When I give up all my offenses and I can actually serve the Vaishnavas. So whatever situation we're in, don't be a restless person and try to prematurely imitate something and for some false prestige adopt the dress or behavior of a renunciate or a preacher. Rather, we should be genuine. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is taught again and again, don't push yourself forward. Rather, you do your bhajan and accept, as one great Vaishnava once said, the environment is always friendly. The environment, the situation is always good. This situation that I'm in right now, which may be so difficult, and oh my God, I have cancer, and I may die, and oh, this is so heavy, I can't tolerate this. This is very good. Krishna sent this to me. This is something to help with my bhajan, because karmadi nirdahati kintu cha bhakti bhajan. As soon as we start this, things change. Our karma changes. And Krishna personally interjects in the life of that devotee and helps that devotee. And it may look like everything's very terrible, but it's there to build fuel in our hearts so that we can cry. Just like if you have a big pot of water on a boiling on a fire, that pot, if you put it in a small room, it'll fill the room with steam, and it looks very impressive. If you put a tight lid on that pot, it doesn't look very impressive at all. But something happens. The pot starts shaking and quivering. And after some time, if the lid is tight enough, the pot will explode. In Sanskrit, this is called Udgurna. And therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's bhajan is described to be like a golden volcano. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was erupting. It wasn't that Krishna Nam was just coming from his lips, as this, the poet is singing in the song we were singing originally. But it was coming very deep from his heart. So Raghunath Das Goswami became completely renounced. It took him 12 days to arrive in Jagannath Puri. He took the side roads. He didn't go on the big roads. He purposely avoided going with Shivananda Sen and the other party of devotees because he knew they'll find me, they'll catch me if I do that. So he went on the small paths between the villages. It took him 12 days to walk. I think he was running quite a bit. From just near Kolkata, we've also been to the Sripad of Raghunath Das Goswami, to Jagannath Puri. And out of those 12 days, Kaviraj Goswami says he managed to eat three of them. And he says sometimes he was eating fried grains. And sometimes he was given a little milk. Sometimes he fasted. And he didn't care, because he was a madman for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is wanted. This is a lesson we learn from this chapter. So he arrived in Jagannath Puri, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately embraced him. And at that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him to Raghunath, to Swarup Damodar Goswami. And he announced to everyone that Super Raghunath, from now on, Raghunath Das is the Raghu of Swarup. He belongs to Swarup Damodar Goswami. It has a purport. Swarup Damodar Goswami is the Lita in Krishna Leela. And Sri Damodara Goswami is one of the most intimate associates of Mahaprabhu in the Gambira, in Jagannath Puri. The last 12 years of his life, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu locked himself in a small room, and God locked him in itself in a room and cried for himself in a very, very esoteric way. With the help of two devotees primarily, Shubh Damodar and Ramananda Roy. And that Shubh Damodar was being assisted by Raghunath Das Goswami, who was privy to all those pastimes in the Gambira, who was able to see what was the Lord's innermost desire and how to fulfill that desire. And because he had seen that thing, Raghunath Das Goswami later came here to Vrindavan Dham after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, and he took shelter of Rupa and Sanatan. And later, after they left, he took shelter of Radha Kund. And he spoke most of the information we have in the Anchalila of Chaitanya Charitamrita. If it wasn't for Raghunath Das Goswami, we wouldn't know all those things. He was such an intimate devotee. When he arrived there, Kaviraj Goswami says that for the first 5 days, Govinda, Mahaprabhu's servant, was giving Raghunath Das Mahaprabhu's remnants. That's pretty good. Wouldn't mind that, huh? But after 5 days, Raghunath Das Goswami said, "Thank you very much. That's enough." And he didn't say anything. He went to the Singhadwara gate in front of the Jagannath Mandir. And he just stood there. And sometimes, no doubt, some people would spit on him, maybe. Some people might smile at him. Somebody might give him a little prasadam. It's a common thing, Kaviraj Goswami notes, and we see even this day, many times beggars are standing outside the Singhadwara gate in Jagannath Puri. And wealthy people, Kaviraj Goswami calls them the Jagannath's Vishais, which Prabhupada, I think, says his servants or something, but Vishai literally means an enjoyer. We're coming and giving things to the poor people. And he did this for some time. Mahaprabhu was very pleased by that. But then after some time, actually it's described about a year later, Raghunath Das Goswami's father, he managed to locate Raghunath Das, and he sent a few cooks, one cook and a servant, and about 200 coins to help serve Raghunath Das Goswami. My dear devotees, I can stop right now, if you like. I don't know what the rules are, Prabhuji. Should we stop? Okay, so we can say that? Okay, so please forgive me again. Another deadline has arrived, and I'm going to break it this time. I'm very sorry, because there's some things I really want to say. If you need to take prasadam or something, please go ahead. But I'm going to continue a little more for anybody who'd like to stay. So he sent some money and some servants to Raghunath Das, and Raghunath Das refused them. "No. Now I've left home. I've left these things. I won't accept them." But then he thought to himself, "Oh, maybe there's some use to this." And so he accepted a little of the money, and he arranged for some cooking for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he started regularly feeding Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But after a couple of years of that, he stopped. And Mahaprabhu asked Shubh Damodar, who knew the heart of Raghunath Das, "Why did Raghunath Das stop calling me for a meal?" And Sarup, he told Mahaprabhu that because he knew that it's not good to accept money from materialistic people to serve the devotees, to serve the Lord. It's not proper renunciation. Now, sometimes we have a little bit of a hard time with that. There's a nice story in this regard. I told last week, or week before, I think, to some other group, that because sometimes we just want to collect a lot of money, and Srila Prabhupada certainly wasn't shy at all about taking money from materialistic people and using it in Christian service. He said, very good, we should do it. But we should understand some principles about it. There's a nice story to illustrate this in the life of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. He had a few disciples who were going out for collection. It's also going on then. And one of them was quite good at it. He was, as always happens, he was a very expert collector. He was getting lots of money. And he got lots of attention, you can imagine. And every day he was coming back, and the system was, when they finished the collection at the end of the day, they would bring and give the money to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and present it to Guru Maharaj like that. And so at the end of one day he came back, and that day he thought to himself, I need to get a bar of soap, or maybe some toothpaste or some little thing. Those days it was a few annas, a few paisa, just like nothing. So he kept just a very, very small, a few pennies kind of thing from the collection. I'm not going to ask Guru Maharaj for this. And he gave the money to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, except for that little bit. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, did you give the money? He said, yes, Guru Maharaj. He said, did you give all the money? Yes, Guru Maharaj. Did you give all the money? He said, well, Guru Maharaj, I kept a couple of paisa for a little soap or something. Please forgive me. Why did you do that? Who told you to do that? Nonsense. Give me that. And perhaps that devotee for a moment, who knows what he might have been thinking. Guru Maharaj is a little attached, isn't he? Sadhu Sabadan. And be careful what we think of Guru and Sadhu. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta took that money, and then he gave it back to him. And he told him, I can digest this, but you can't. This money comes from materialistic people. And Srila Prabhupada writes in her purport in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that in our movement, our devotees are collecting a lot of money, but they should be very, very careful not to waste one paisa of it on their own sense gratification. Because if they do, it's a very, very dangerous thing. We'll destroy ourselves. And this is why Raghunath Das Goswami refused that money. He thought, I can't digest this in my service. And to teach us, he can digest, no problem. But to teach us the principle of vairagya, he refused that thing. And later, he stopped going to the Singhadwara gate. And Mahaprabhu heard from Srup Damodar, now he's just going to the charity booth. And he begs once in a while. And it's very interesting, Mahaprabhu's comment about that. He said that this is very, very good. He said that this business of standing outside the Singhadwara, he says, is Vaishya Achar, or the behavior of a prostitute. Because a prostitute, she's standing on the corner trying to show her stuff and look really good so she'll attract the eye of some poor guy who'll give her some money. And she's thinking, maybe this guy here will be my sweetheart tonight. Maybe this one, And so similarly, if we're standing, if someone is begging like that, in that mood, if we're going out to prachar, for book distribution, or for collection, and we're thinking, oh, this person may give very big, this person may not give very big. Mahaprabhu calls this vaishyachar, the behavior of the prostitute. That's not actually our proper book distribution, our proper collection. Really, who cares about the collection in one sense? Because Krishna Balaram already have everything. But they want to see our endeavor. That's what they want to see. They want to see our sincerity. And that's what they collect. And they send the money. And any good Sankirtan devotee will tell you so many stories are there. I could tell you a few myself, of devotees at the end of the day not selling any books and then all of a sudden selling a case of books to somebody or some amazing thing, because it's up to the Lord. We're just a servant of the Lord. That's all. And we're very, very insignificant. And this activity is not meant for my pleasure. It's meant for the pleasure of the Lord. So Mahaprabhu taught like that. Very important instruction. And then Mahaprabhu, a few days later, he saw that Raghunath Das Goswami was doing something else. That time Raghunath Das, he started going to the place. It's still there today. It's on the northern side of the Jagannath Mandir. There is a place right just inside that wall. I haven't been inside the temple, no. But just inside that wall is the Ananda Bazaar, the marketplace of happiness, the place where they sell Jagannath Mahaprasad. And when that prasad gets old, sometimes they'll sell it to people who don't know what's going on. They'll sell you 1 or 2 day old prasadam. You should be careful. But when it gets really bad and nobody will buy it anymore, then they throw it over the wall. And the cows come and eat it. And you'll see on that side of the wall, there's always many, many cows. Now, after some time, there's some things which, forgive me, it's Mahaprasad, but it smells so bad that the cows won't eat it. Raghunath Das Goswami would go and collect that. The old rotten rice that the cows won't eat. Mahaprasad rice. Because he didn't want to fight with the cows. He wanted to let the cows have what they want. Kaviraj Goswami specifically says he was going at night. So at nighttime the cows don't eat. So he was going and collecting that rice. It was a very moldy and smelly thing. He would bring it back and wash it there in the Gambira. And then the hard inner part of it, he would mix with a little bit of salt and he would eat that. And one day, Srup Damodar Goswami said, "Hey, what are you taking? You have some nice thing. I'd also like to have some of that." And he tried some. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard about it. And he caught Raghunath Das and said, "Hey." And he took some of that. And Srup Damodar Goswami, Mahaprabhu took a handful. And then Srup Damodar stopped him many more. And he said, "My Lord, this food's not fit for you." But he stopped him. This is the renunciation of Raghunath Das Goswami. And his renunciation only accelerated even more. His renunciation was fueled always by the fire known as Vipralamba Agni, or the fire of separation, Viraha Agni. And that fire of separation we see in his home. When he couldn't leave, he was burning and burning. And from that lesson of Raghunath Das Goswami, we learn how to be renounced. Not that we artificially run here or there, but Krishna makes some arrangement. When Krishna makes arrangement, when our heart is burning so much, when that renunciation has come on the inside, remember the red pills for the inside, then it comes on the outside also. And then maybe the white changes at that time. Or maybe it doesn't. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world, it said that Raghunath Das Goswami stopped eating grains. And he would only take fruits. And he came to Vrindavan. And he took shelter of Rupa and Sanatan. And I don't have time to sing this. There's one beautiful Paya Bengali song that the author describes that when Sanatan Goswami left this world, then Raghunath Das stopped eating fruits and he would just take, famously, little buttermilk. And when Rupa Goswami left this world, Sanatan Goswami, he stopped even that. And it said that he stopped in his separation. He stopped drinking water. And finally, he was just living by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Which also brings us to another point I wanted to touch on. Two other points that are very important. One is that Raghunath Das Goswami stands for several things. He stands for the embodiment, the emblem of renunciation, how to achieve renunciation, not through external means, but through internal means. We've discussed that elaborately. The second point that's there, which I think we've brought out by now, and which we can add one point to, is that Raghunath Das Goswami got unprecedented mercy from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The mercy that he gave to Raghunath Das was amazing. First giving him personal instructions, Antarnishtha Bahirvyavahar, stay at home, don't be a crazy person. And then later, letting him have shelter of Lord Nityananda and the devotees. And then later, giving him a place in Jagannath Puri, then in the Gambira, giving him shelter of Subhadamodar Goswami in the Gambira. And then later, Shankarananda Sarasvati came from Vrindavan with a Govardhan Shila and a Gunja Mala necklace, and he gave those things to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu worshipped them for 2 years. He would hold them to his chest and cry. And after 2 years, Mahaprabhu decided to give those two items to Raghunath Das Goswami. And Raghunath Das, it's a long discussion, I won't go in that direction elaborately, but just to touch on one little point. When Raghunath Das got that Govardhan Shila, he thought to himself, not that Mahaprabhu has given me Krishna, although Mahaprabhu was seeing the Shila as Krishna. Raghunath Das, when he got that Govardhan Shila, he was thinking, Mahaprabhu has given me a place at Govardhan. And then, when Mahaprabhu left this world, he came to Vrindavan. Mahaprabhu gave him Vrindavan. Mahaprabhu gave him the Sangha of Rupa and Sanatan. Mahaprabhu gave him Radha Kund. He got so much amazing mercy. Why? Who is Subhadamodar Goswami? Raghunath Das Goswami. It's a very long discussion. I won't go in that direction so much. In the Gorgavindarchana Smarana Padati, the Dhyan Chandra Goswami, the disciple of Gopal Guru Goswami, he describes that Krishna has 16, he's Purna, he has 16 Shaktis in Braj. And he lists those Shaktis. Those Shaktis are certain personalities. Who are those 16 Shaktis? The Astasakis, personified. And the Astamanjaris. So, who at this point we can mention is Raghunath Das Goswami? He's one of those Astamanjaris. The Astamanjaris, or eight principal Manjaris, first of all is Rupa Goswami, who's Rupa Manjari in Krishna Leela. Sanatan Goswami, who's Labanga Manjari in Krishna Leela. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, who's Rasa Manjari in Krishna Leela. Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who's Guna Manjari in Krishna Leela. Jiva Goswami, who's Vilas Manjari in Krishna Leela. And Raghunath Das Goswami, who's described as Tulsi Manjari, or sometimes it's said Rati Manjari. Two different books describe this. Kavi Karnapur writes in his Gaura Ganadesh Deepika a similar thing. And we have two other Manjaris also. Lokanath Goswami is Manjulali Manjari. And then that's seven. There's one more, which is Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, the only Goswami who didn't directly meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami in Krishna Leela is Kasturi Manjari. So it's not an ordinary thing. And Raghunath Das Goswami, his assistance to Subhadamodar Goswami, now we're finally getting to a point I really wanted to get to, is very, very significant, very, very profound. And this is why I feel in the beginning of this chapter, Kaviraj Goswami gives some emphasis on this point. He mentions, I'll just read the translations, we're a little late. Previously, when Radharani felt the pangs of separation from Krishna, her constant companion, Lalita, kept her alive by helping her in many ways. Similarly, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt Radharani's emotions, Swarup Damodara Goswami helped him maintain his life. Why does he mention this point? And he mentions it in three different verses. What is so important to emphasize this point in the beginning of this chapter, which is basically speaking about Raghunath Das Goswami, who Mahaprabhu says your father and uncle are Vishais. He says that they're like worms in a pit of stool, although they look like Vaishnavas or Chaya Vaishnavas. There's something like Vaishnavas, Vaishnav Praya, but they're not really Vaishnavas because they're not 100% sold out, which is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants and which is a lesson from this chapter for us. So why, if that's the emphasis then, all this discussion in the beginning about Mahaprabhu's mood in the Gambhira and Swarup Damodara Goswami's role in helping Mahaprabhu? It says pointedly here that because Mahaprabhu, in text 7, it says that Dina Prabhu Nana Sange, because he was with many different devotees during the day, Mahaprabhu was able to control his feelings of separation. His mind was distracted by so many other devotees coming to see him. But at night, he was alone with Swarup Damodara and Roy Ramananda. And he got to taste something which Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes. I'm going to just touch on, it's a very, very big subject. Could speak on it for many days. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, is the purpose of Gaura Leela. He says that the purpose of Gaura Leela, Shiradaya Pranaya Mahima Kidri Sovanayaiva Svadyo Yinibhuta Madhuri Makidri Sova Madhya Sokyam Chashyaman and Abhava the Kidri Samdati Lobit Tabhava Jasamajini Sachi Garba Sindhu Harindu. The sixth verse in the Mangalacharna of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he describes the entire book in one verse. He says that Mahaprabhu, Krishna came as Mahaprabhu for three reasons. Shiradaya Pranaya Mahima Kidrisam. Kidrisam, he wanted to know what is a Pranaya Mahima, the glory of Radharani's love. And why the word Pranaya is used, my Guru Maharaj gave a very long explanation of that, very beautiful explanation, another subject, but you should read the book Embankment of Separation. Shiradaya Pranaya Mahima. And what is the sweetness in me that she tastes? I want to know. Krishna couldn't understand this. And Sokyam Chashamananabhavada Kidrisam. What is the happiness that she gets? She gets more happiness than me. Krishna was thinking to himself, hey, I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I get what's entitled to my position. But this lady, Srimati Radharani, is experiencing something I can't experience. She's getting more happiness from serving me, from loving me. How? So he developed these three types of greed. And for this reason, like the moon comes from the ocean, doesn't really come from the ocean. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared from the womb of Sachi Mata. He didn't really appear from there. To taste this thing. So, this is a very, very important subject. This is a bit of an esoteric subject. Please forgive me. This is something more elevated than I should be able to say. In Oriya, there's a nice saying that, I'm a small person who's trying to speak something very big. I'm trying to speak something very big with a small mouth. So please forgive me. But I feel some obligation to do this for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada and our Gurujanas. Because some question has come amongst some of the followers of Srila Prabhupada today. What is the proper process of bhajan? And some will say, based on this chapter, that really, Prabhu, the best thing is to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there's something, it's very confidential, but there's something that's even higher than the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And that's chanting the names of Gaura and Nityananda. Very, very nice. And there's many, many examples. And we love to chant the names of Gaura and Nityananda. It's a very, very important thing. But what I chant on my japa is what my guru has given me. And what I chant on my japa is the Maha Mantra. And this Maha Mantra is what Raghunath Das Goswami was reciting 300,000 times a day. There's no record that Raghunath Das Goswami was chanting japa of the names Gaura and Nityananda. Although he was a recipient of the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Why? There's a very mysterious secret behind this. I like to call this, if the devotees bless us, maybe we'll write a book with the same title. We like to call this the kirtan of our sampradaya. The kirtan of our sampradaya is this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself in Chaitanya Bhagavat instructed the devotees, Jadiyama prati sneha prati sabakar Tade Krishna Vyakti Rikta Nagai Deya Bolo Hare Krishna. He said, if you love me, if you really love me, you want to please me, then you should love my instructions. You should do what I tell you. And I tell you, don't chant my name. Chant Krishna's name. Why? Why don't we chant Radhe, Radhe? It's very nice. It said in one verse, I don't know this, the Braj Boli for it, very nice verse that we printed in our Bindu magazine once, that all the residents of Vrindavan are constantly saying Radhe, Radhe. Where we stay, I won't say where, but the place we stay, it's a very fancy place. One friend is letting us stay in his nice flat. And they have many chokidars everywhere, many guards. And wherever you go, they say Radhe, Radhe. Because you can tell definitely 100% the administration called all of them and gave them strict instructions. You greet everyone and you tell them Radhe, Radhe. That's so nice. The same place also plays extremely loud disco music a few times a week, and they have these horrible dances and things like that. It's not completely devotionally oriented, but I think to myself, certainly they have some special mercy coming. Because they told all the chokidars to say Radhe, Radhe, which everyone does in Vrindavan anyway. Everyone chants Radhe, Radhe here. But there's a certain thing we chant in our japa. And there's a certain purport to our japa. There's a certain purport to our bhajan. There's a story that I've heard accredited to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. I don't know where it's from. And in one sense, whether it's true or not, it doesn't really make a difference to me, because the purport is clear. That once some disciples supposedly came to him and said, Guru Maharaj, you know, there's one devotee staying here at Radhakund and he's become really advanced. Acha? Yes, Guru Maharaj. Now he stopped chanting Krishna's name. And he just chants Radhe, 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 Radhe. And he cries all day. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta supposedly said, that's very good. We appreciate that. He said, but we have a better program. Rashabdam kurvatastasto dadami bhaktam uttamam dashabdam kurvata paschat yami shravana lobata. Krishna has said, Brahma Vivarta Purana, the moment I hear someone say the first syllable ra, whoa, I go running there. And then by the time I hear the syllable da, I forget myself and I become stunned in ecstasy. So if you chant the name of Radha, who will come running? Krishna will come running. But he said, we have a better program. We chant the name Krishna, and someone else comes running. Who is that? Srimati Radharani. Sometimes in Braj I hear devotees, even sometimes in our society, chanting this mantra, which is not a Gaudiya Vaishnav Siddhantic line, that Radhe, Radhe, Shamni, Ladhe. Oh Radhe, oh Radhe, please give me your Sham. That's not our mood. Our mood is Sham, Sham, Radhe, me Ladhe. Krishna, Krishna, please give me Radha. Give me the service of Radha. This is the special quality of the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we should learn this very subtle and very important point about our bhajan and why it is that we chant the Hare Krishna mantra. And before we chant Hare Krishna, we always offer prayers to Gaura and Nityananda. And sometimes we chant their name a little, just out of some ecstasy, because it's so ecstatic to do. We don't fault anyone for doing. But there's something special and something very mysterious in chanting Hare Krishna. And it began in Vrindavan, like everything. I'd like to sing a few lines from a Bengali song that my Guru Maharaj used to sing. This is a very confidential song. It speaks about the mood of Srimati Radharani after Krishna's left Braj. And it speaks about the time when Radharani has decided, I can't take it anymore. I'm going to die in separation from Krishna. The Shabba Sahachar Tosi Mandiri Jindai Amare Deshtana Kore Bolo Sabe Hare Hare Jatana Parana Bahe Sati He. Srimati Radharani, she's praying, I can no longer live in separation from Shyam Sundar. And now, at the end of my life, before I die, take me to the bank of the Jamuna. Krishna's very dear friend. Jamuna's also black. And you take the black mud from the Jamuna and smear it all over my body. And in that black mud, you write Sham, 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 the names of Krishna. And then I want all of you, she's telling this to her sakis and manjaris, I want all of you to gather around me when I die and chant Hari Hari, the names of Krishna. This is Mahaprabhu's bhajan in the Gambira. When the gopis go to see Srimati Radharani, they're not going there and singing Radhe, 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 Radhe. What will Radharani say? Hey, stop it. Stop that noise. What are you doing? They chant Krishna, Krishna. And Radharani gets so much pleasure. This is the kirtan of our sampradaya. Srimati Radharani was dying in separation from Krishna. And at that dying moment, she said, let me be absorbed in this Krishna kirtan, in the names of Krishna, and let me leave my body you do this kirtan for me. She gave that instruction to her sakis and manjaris. And those same sakis and manjaris, they came as the six Goswamis and our acharyas. And Raghunath Das Goswami therefore wrote a commentary on the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And he never wrote a commentary on the names of Gaura and Nityananda. Chant them, fine. But this is the mantra our Gurudev is given. This is the mantra, the bhajan of Mahaprabhu in the Gambira that Raghunath Das Goswami learned, that Sarup Damodar and Roy Ramananda were doing for Mahaprabhu. They weren't doing Gaura Kirtan. They were doing Krishna Kirtan because Mahaprabhu was in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So this is a few lessons from this past time. We've really gone late. Thank you all so much for letting me share these things. I finally got it out. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami ki, Sri Nityananda Prabhu ki, Gopremanande, Vanchakalpa Dharubhischa, Kripa Sindhubhyaiva cha, Paditanam Pavanibhyo, Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha.